This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our study of Ecclesiastes with two ways. Consider the work of God, overly righteous, many schemes, and no power over the day of death. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and repentance of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me, Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
The name of the Lord is to be praised. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Luke chapter 22. And he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered from sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered from sins of the people.
You shall have. Our Father. The Small Catechism, page 324. What is the sixth petition?
And lead us not into temptation.
What does this mean?
God tempts no one. We pray in this petition, God of our heart will keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us.
What is the seventh petition?
But deliver us from evil.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven, who rescue us from every evil of body, soul, possessions, and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself.
What is the conclusion to the Lord's Prayer?
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
What does this mean?
This means that I should be served.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, teach us to pray. In these catechetical sermons, we have seen that the Lord's Prayer belongs to Christ. It is his prayer, not merely in the sense that he is the author of its form. Rather, this prayer belongs to Christ because he himself prays these petitions. In these petitions, we hear the voice of his own blood that ever intercedes before his Father in heaven. Thus, to pray the Lord's Prayer is now to join Christ in the priestly office that belongs to him alone. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Christ teaches us to pray with words full of meaning. Our Father, who art in heaven. The little pronoun our is surely the most precious word in the whole prayer. For this little pronoun testifies to that communion with Christ, that solidarity with the beloved Son, that is the condition of all true prayer. And so in the beginning petitions, Jesus lifts us up to heaven and gives us a place within his own sonship. He invites us to lay claim to what belongs to him alone as the only Son of the Father. Surely it is only the Son who can lay claim to his Father's holy name. It is only the true heir that can lay claim to the kingdom that comes. And so the Lord's Prayer begins in heaven. And yet in its middle petitions, Jesus' prayer now descends upon the earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here again, Jesus fills this little pronoun our with even more meaning and mystery. For in this pronoun, Jesus not only teaches our solidarity with him in his divine sonship, but also his solidarity now with us in our hunger, in our need, even in our sins. And so the Lord's Prayer is a ladder, a stairway that joins heaven and earth. And yet in the final petitions we consider this day, Jesus teaches us that the ladder of his intercession does not simply rest its foot upon the earth. Rather, Jesus' prayer now extends deeper than the earth. Indeed, it descends into the heart of the earth, into the lower regions, even into the source of evil itself. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. With these petitions, the Lord's Prayer comes to its end. With these final cries, Jesus' solidarity with us now reaches its most profound depth. In our text for today, Jesus is reaching the end of his course. The perfection of his exodus is now beginning to be accomplished. And after establishing the New Testament in his own blood, Jesus, according to his custom, Luke says, comes to the Mount of Olives. This scene represents Jesus' final moment of freedom. And what does Jesus do with his final moment of freedom? He does what is most natural to him. He acts according to his custom. He prays. Now, most of us, when we consider this scene, immediately focus on his prayer of personal self-denial. Not my will, but yours be done. Jesus here turns away from the desire of his own humanity for self-preservation and voluntarily submits to the desire of his Father. Yet there is another aspect of this scene that is often overlooked. Jesus does not here pray alone, but in the company of his disciples. Indeed, Jesus' purpose is not merely to fortify himself for the burden of the cross, but his purpose is also to shield and to protect his disciples. Pray that you may not enter into temptation, Jesus says. And again at the end, why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Here I think we see the depth of Jesus' solidarity with us. Here Jesus teaches that we have in fact a more profound problem than merely our earthly need for bread or for sleep. Our peril lies deeper than our debts or the hostility of those who sin against us. Rather, the origin and source of our predicament is found in the evil adversary who has opposed us from the beginning. It is the devil who has planned our fall. It is the evil one who has deceived us. It is Satan who has now bound us with the power of death. And so if we are to be redeemed, and someone must face the strong man, if we are to be free, then someone must cut the chains that bind us. Someone must now enter into the valley of the shadow of death. Someone must conquer, subdue, set us free. This is why Jesus is following his course to the end. This is why he now bears the cross. This is why he agonizes in our text, and his blood even now falls into the earth like the blood of Abel. For Jesus' course must now descend into the heart of evil itself. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. These final petitions teach the profound depth of the Son's solidarity with us. Indeed, our deliverance depends now on Jesus fulfilling the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah descended into the belly of the fish, so the Son of Man must now descend into the heart of the earth. Indeed, dear friends, what salvation would there be if the power of God's name withdrew from David as he descended to face the strong man? And what salvation would there be if the power of Jesus' intercession did not avail for Daniel in the lion's den, or for the three youths in the fiery furnace, or for Jonah in the belly of Sheol, as he himself puts it? No, Christ gives us this prayer so that we are never alone. Armed with this prayer, what good is it that we lack? What danger should we fear? Where can we go? And the prayer of Christ does not avail. If we are in heaven, Christ is there to share his name and his inheritance. If we are in need, he is there to now be our daily bread. If we are condemned for our sins, he is there to be our advocate with the Father. If we bear temptation, he is there to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. And yes, if we face the devil himself, Christ is there to make his enemies a footstool and to crush the head of that ancient serpent beneath his foot. It is for this reason that the church then finally added, rightly, a doxology to the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The resurrection of Christ, his victory over the devil, calls for this fitting addition. For the power of Christ's intercession avails not only in heaven before the Father, not only on earth before men, but even under the earth, over the evil one himself. And so it is in communion with Christ that we can be certain that these petitions are pleasing to our Father in heaven and are now heard by him. It is in solidarity with Christ that we now say amen. Amen means, yes, yes, it shall be so. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the whole Christian church here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, For those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father, Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.